by my house and we was good friends and you brought your little daughter with you and my dog attacked your daughter, who you gonna sue? My dog would be. Although I didn't bite her. But I'm responsible for that dog. You're responsible for this white racist system. Not that you are racist, you're responsible for the system that causes you. Now he brought your daughter by my house and my dog leaped up on the couch and chewed up my daughter and bit yours, you would be mad. Then if you brought your daughter by my house and my dog grabbed your daughter and I reached over and grabbed the dog and the dog damn near killed me, you wouldn't be mad at all. And that's what we saying. We very uptight over your dog biting us. We gonna stay uptight till he change the dog or get in a position where he gonna bite you. And if you can't understand that, we're in trouble. We hate this stinking white racist institution. This is what black folks is talking about on the college campus. I mean, black folks say, well, I don't understand these black kids today. We want a separate dormitory. Well, I went to a white college and we fought to integrate the dormitory. Well, I don't understand these black kids. I was so damn glad to get in a white college. I didn't mind all the little cool notes they used to stick up on the door. All the little nigger signs they used to leave on the wall. But you got young black kids today to fight for dignity and manhood. I said, before they take all these damn insults, let them be by themselves. Teach them black studies. And that's a legitimate request. All at once, young black Americans decided they're not going to be your nigger no more. So they said, teach them who they are. We sure our history go back further than slavery. A man without a knowledge of himself is like a tree with no roots. So we're trying to destroy a white racist institution that humiliates us, that insults us 24 hours a day. Now I've run across so many people interviewing Mr. Gregory, what do you think about black folks asking for separatism? When you white folks get so concerned about separatism, why don't you go get that Indian on their reservation? That's a few examples of separatism is okay. First time that Indian hold a press conference and say, me like a heap of reservation, don't want no more white folks on reservation. You send your army up there, running around. Racist institution that permit Jews to get just upset because you found out black anti-Semitism exists in the black ghetto. Every Jew in America over 15 years old know another Jew that don't like niggas. Now you find out some niggas don't like Jews. Why are we so upset? Because in a white racist society, you permit the underdog to do the same thing to you, you do to them. I'm glad that black anti-Semitism has come out of that black ghetto. It's been there all along. What you afraid of? You'll never be able to solve it as long as it was here. That's why I'm glad. And what really knocks me out of all these black folks make like they didn't know what was better. That's the ones that keep getting that money from you. Oh, we just went all the way to all. Every nigga in America lived in a large urban city heard his mama making that toxic tax. But that was okay for somebody. Now that it's coming out, for the first time everybody know it's there. Oh, everybody getting uptight now. No, if I had cancer, I want to find out about it somewhere. And everything in that black ghetto we doing wrong, I'm going to get exposed. Until it gets exposed, we'll never get exposed. So we say we're tired of this white racist. It has nothing to do with white things. All you white folks can leave America in the morning and leave nothing in America with black folks, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, and Indians. And if we had to use them same old trick tests to get in these institutions you take, we still couldn't get out. You wouldn't even be here. That's what we talking about. You gonna keep me locked in a black ghetto all my life. Then when I come to go to your college, you don't only ask me what is two and two, you start getting slick. What's the Eiffel Tower? How the hell I know? But I know what a rat is. Indian up on the reservation, and when he gets ready to enroll in your schools, you don't ask him nothing about the reservation. You want to ask him about your plan. This is what we're talking about. That's why we're talking about knock that test out. because it ain't fair. You slandered to your fame and not to nobody else. So we tired of this white racist institution. 2 years ago had I gone around this country advocating the problem in the black ghetto. Today we need black capitalism. All you liberals will say, that's racism. A white boy, Nixon, can advocate black capitalism. That's okay, you see that wrong. That's a white boy. You ever been on a railroad train? You see that black cat on the railroad? Can't be nothing but a Pullman Ford in the history of America. A nigga ain't been able to do nothing but just be a poor. It's okay. But you know, we have a press conference tomorrow and organize all the black Pullman Porters and got on nationwide television and say, we as black Pullman Porters don't want you white folks. We want y'all to know we don't want to drive your white train. We want you to know we don't want to take up your old white tickets. Talk about that's racism. As long as we've had the railroad, we ain't never let a black man drive the train. That's okay, but the system is bad. And as dumb as white folks think that we are, you don't need too much sense to drive a train or you can follow the damn tracks. You ever look at a television show called The Dayton Game? Anytime they bring a black contestant on, they have three black guests. That never dawned on you, that's racist. Because that's the establishment. But if I went on the dating game next week and say, I'm not going to work it if you have any white ladies on there, I want three black women, you would say I was racist. We're tired of this white racist institution. As long as you're doing it, it's all right. We're tired of being racist. We're trying to work to change. You know, I'd like you youngsters to do me a favor. One day this week or next week, first chance you get, go by the library and copy down the Declaration of Independence. Don't read it, just copy it. You know how to copy without reading it. Sure you do. Here's what I want you to do for me after you copy down the Declaration of Independence. I want you to keep the Declaration with you 24 hours a day. Never be caught. Got that declaration. Here's the favor I want you to do for me. When the ride season open up again. Can you believe this old stinking system and program black folks into believing that we got a ride season July through August? Last year we didn't show up and the whole country got upset. Where were they? Show up last July and August. Everybody got a tank. Where were y'all? We had the tanks waiting for you. They asked George Wallace, why you think they didn't ride last season? He said, oh, you know them niggas is lazy and shiftless. They just got tired. I'll tell you where we was last ride season. We got tired of stealing all them old bad, no good products. Last July through August, we decided to go underground and study the Consumer Report. So when the ride season open up again this year, we ain't stealing no more baby. Now here's the favor I'd like for you to do for me. When the ride season open up, I'd like for you to run home. Get around your mom and daddy and you black kids go home too, because you know you got some niggas living in them houses which you think more degenerate and more corrupt than the Ku Klux Klan could ever think, and you do know what I'm talking about. And get your television set and put it in the middle of the room. And then turn on the evening news, because they're going to show them niggas rioting and looting and socking it to the town. After you get the news on, turn on Huntley and Brinkley, because they get close-ups. Yeah, them other two networks, they try to cover the rides in helicopters because they're scared, you know. But no, Huntley and Brinkley, they get such close-ups you can recognize your kids, folks. Look at that, Hale Brigadillo. I didn't know he was in Detroit. Get it, man, get it. Now, after you get Huntley and Brinkley on, they'll be showing them niggas riding. At that point, run upstairs and get your mom and daddy and bring them down. Put them right in front. decorations in the room. The sound turned off, so they can't hear nothing. Just look at them black folks loot and burn the town down. At that point, I want you to move way in the back of the town. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights. That when these rights are destroyed over long periods of time, it is your duty to destroy or abolish that government. Gonna assume that was some message Malcolm X left for Rap Brown. But I know with a minimum amount of persuasion you can teach them fools that that was their beloved Declaration of Independence. Yeah, that one with that mistake on it. One where they forgot the right for white only. You know, as funny as that may seem, but you know, we dumb enough that if you didn't put white only on it, we dumb enough to read it and believe that that Declaration of Independence is written for all of us. But when we do what it says, do us long years for justice and call it human, because we realize the first time the Declaration of Independence is written, why don't you make it into the world? And then get it out of my black ghetto. I remember I was back in the ghetto, great, so happy. Yeah, good nigga saying, I love my baby. Oh, baby, oh. The principal ran up to us one day and said, Board of Education said, y'all can't graduate from grade school if you can read and learn the Declaration of Independence. I said, what? That's my book. Man, we ain't gonna read that old white stuff. That's you ain't gonna graduate. I said, lay it on me. As long as his suggestion is born, he has a duty to destroy all power.
I said, baby, y'all got some more of this stuff
there? You white folks really sick enough to believe you can put this stuff in our neighborhood and we're not going to read it and do what it says do? You white folks sick enough to believe you can still draft niggas into your army and send them down to Fort Benning, Georgia, and teach them how to be gorillas and send them to Vietnam, killing foreigners to liberate foreigners and think they're not going to come back to America and kill you to liberate their mammy, that you sticking out your mind. Turn off. After you get that declaration out of my community, real quick, run and get that filthy white boy American history book out of my ghetto. So let me tell you something. There's no way in the world you can expect niggas to believe you making a history. Baby, your history tells me from the time you landed at the Plymouth Rock, you shot and murdered your way all the way across to California. You serious? You really think you can give me that? You think I'm all right? You ever read history? You think George Washington made your history book because he was a good preacher and he learned how to sing We Shall Overcome and he went around preaching nonviolence? He made your history book because he kicked the hell out of the British Hill. Every one of you got a kid. You got to be joking with that history book. You tell me in that history book that You came to these shores and discovered a country that was already... And they got nerve enough to call a nigga hooligan. How do you discover something that's not only owned by somebody else, but's being used at the time you discovered it? That's like me and my old lady walking out of here tonight, and you and your lady sitting in your brand new automobile, and my lady say, gee, honey, that sure is a beautiful automobile. So wish it was mine. Go in, let's discover it. Wish you white folks would read your history, then maybe you'll understand me. Give me liberty or give me death. Who said that? Rap Brown, didn't it? What did Sophie Carmichael say? Don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes. Then you run around and tell me to have respect for the police. Give me that old history book to show me in your history book. You didn't have no respect for the police. Yes, in there. And in the early days when the British was the police, a white boy by the name of Paul Revere rode through the white community and said, get a gun, white folks, police. Now, you can understand the white family. But the Black Panthers make you forget about your history, though. They ain't got nerve enough to get upset over the rides when the nigga steal a television set. Take it home with him. But you still give me that white boy history book telling me how your white folks got on that foreign ship. All that man's kid walking. What the hell are you mad at? Because we got enough sense to take it home. If you're going to loot and take tea that don't belong to you and then tell me in your history book it was a Boston Tea Party, and every time a nigga take a television set, call that a Saturday night fish fry. Let me briefly, before leaving tonight, discuss with you Black attitudes in America today. Oh no, we got some attitudes. Thank God we finally got it. Now, we'll be honest with you, we don't know what it is we've been doing over the last 2 years to alienate you white folks the way we've been alienating you. We got news for you. Whatever it is we've been doing, we're going to keep on doing it. We really didn't want to, but we noticed in the last 3 months there's been more immigration in America than ever before in the history of this country. So whatever it is we're doing to make you uncomfortable, we're just running around praying, singing with tunes, talking about being pretty, but mentioning you to everybody who's been in America 2 years. We don't know what it is about making you uncomfortable, but it sure has made it safe for us. We're going to keep on doing what we do, but it sure is getting rough for us. Everybody tired of your ass on that one. You know how insulting it is when white folks ask black folks in the country to be involved. The last country to be involved, the only country in the history of the world that's dropped a nuclear bomb on another human being is now asking us to behave. Every morning you go out and drop napalm on women and kids, and then you want us to behave. Nobody know how insulting it is. I'm not killed. Me means everything in life is a consequence. That's my hang up, though. I don't go around preaching. I'll never knock a steak out of your plate. I'll never let you put a pork chop in mine. But as dedicated as I am to nonviolent, it alienates me to hear white folks in America
tell black folks to be nonviolent. If you own the mightiest army, the mightiest navy, the mightiest air force, own all the police, state police, federal police, local police, sheriff police, CIA, FBI, you own all them guns and then come to us, we don't own nothing, and say, be nonviolent, boy, we say to you, you go to hell. If you sincere about nonviolence, we say, prove it to us. Prove it. Don't do nothing for us. We proved to you, we burned town down. Since you lack nonviolence, we say to you, get up on that Indian reservation and cut your red brother loose, but you can't be no more nonviolent than this Indian has been in America in the last 75 years. What happened to your appetite? Why is that Indian still on that reservation since you're supposed to freak out so much over nonviolence? As long as that Indian's on that reservation, you should never be caught uttering the word nonviolence, because you can still up there with a passionate disrespect for the nonviolence. And the only time you lack nonviolence, that Indian wants a better way of life in the morning. It's sad, I have to sit here and admit to you. You got to understand he's dealing with such a racist inside nation, insane nation, until you make this country peep up through the muzzle of a gun, she's gonna keep you in. Oh, that Indian wants a better way of life in the morning. All he got to do is get out on the viaduct in Arizona and catch you white folk driving down the expressway going to work in the morning and start shooting at you. Bow and yelling, red power! Why do you go home? And when that Indian tell you to go home, he's talking about the big trip, baby. Oh, just as sure as that Indian got violent in the morning, oh, the whole country be upset. I can just hear about them stinking reds. Then come Sunday, you go home and turn on television and look at Meet the Press, and they'll be interviewing some old Tom Indian. They'll be telling all the fools everything they want to hear. I can just hear him now. Yes, me like a heap of reservation. The problem comes from them young bucks. Them Stokely running horses and rap light clouds. As long as that Indian had enough sense to keep coming off that reservation and socking it to you and burning some of these colleges down that's on his property and getting some of them blonde scalps and raping some of your white ladies, oh, it upsets you when you listen to him. That's the only thing you understand. Oh, that Indian raised a lot of hell. Next summer you turn on television, you see as many Indians on television as you saw black folks last year. I just did not tune in every Tuesday night. Hour-long special, seven-part series, Meet Your Indian Brother, brought to you by Xerox, no commercials. Oh, that Indian raised enough hell this year. Next year you have an Indian here talking to you. You don't care about that Indian today, because he's done exactly what you say you like. Only in this country can start like this. Every Indian in America, just for the money it costs to run the Bureau, has to get $4,300 a year. So I say you help survive. You will create a situation in America where America will become ashamed of that injustice. So I say to you to believe me, black folks have done that.
come y'all don't want to be called color? How come we can't call y'all Negro no more?
That's right. What we trying to say, safer, just to say
black.
We don't need to put you white folks in no position, but we notice you don't feel like white folks. Stop playing with us. A Jew leaves Israel's life to come to my country. You leave Israel, he stays a Jew when he gets here. An Italian leaves Italy to come to my country. He's an Italian over there in Italy. He stays Italian when he get here. The Irishman left Ireland to come to an America. He was an Irishman over there. He stayed an Irishman when he got here. We notice you ain't played no games with yourself. You don't play them with us. We left Africa, Africans, and when we got here, we got to be colored folks and Negroes and Negroes. I'm playing them a game. You want to change some names? Call yourself Clear People. Change your thing, being that we both made that same trip across the Atlantic. It didn't change you. It better not change me. That's what we're talking about. You're tired of these insults. And we got enough sense to know that we can't stop white folks in this country from insulting us. And we hope you get enough sense to know you can't stop us from reacting to your insults. Never again. Oh, it was groovy once upon a time. 20, 30 years ago, black folks in America had an empty stomach. Today, black people in America have a full stomach, but a hungry mind, and a hungry mind will not tolerate the same thing an empty stomach did. Empty stomachs deal on smell, and hungry minds deal on sound. And all at once, this country don't sound like this. 4 years ago, three white boys burned up their draft card. Within 2 weeks' time, the Senate and Congress have passed an anti-draft bill. We haven't been able to get them to give us an anti-lynching bill. Go to Vietnam tonight and get killed by a Viet Cong. This country would give my black wife $10,000. And she couldn't take that $10,000 to buy her a house, any area she wanted to buy one in. Hell, I got killed shooting at the wrong folks. And then you tell me I got to get a fair housing bill to live anywhere in my country I want to live. What animals are you? The hell do you think you are? That old white Russian broad, Stalin's daughter, remember her? A known communist and a known Russian. You ain't supposed to like neither one of them. You didn't make that broad get no fair housing bill to live anywhere in my country she wanted to live. Why do I need one? All them Russian exchange students you bring over here to put in your schools, they don't want to be your citizen. Matter of fact, when you bring them over here, you got to put the FBI on them to watch them 4 years, see that they don't steal no secrets. You don't make them Russian exchange students get no fair housing bill to live anywhere they want to live in these old racist college towns. Why do we need them? We said we tired of these white folks tell us. Number one problem, education is your problem. That ain't number a cheap whitey cop out, because if education was the problem, the Jews would run this country. We'll own it. Since education is supposed to be the problem, why is it you over in Vietnam with your army trying to guarantee that foreigner freedom in the morning and you ain't never asked about his education? But you want free him in the morning, but you don't check mine out. And you question my educational standard, question it right. That's why we demanding you teach my black history in your white institutions. Because if you knew my history and not just what your mom and daddy told you about me, you'd find out your mama come closer to being that nigga than me. Education. You ever stop to ask yourself how many millions of people would be dead today on the face of this earth if it were not for blood class? Are you aware of the fact that a black American by the name of Charlie Drew invented blood plasma? Don't take my word for it. Check it out in your library. Are you also aware of the fact that Charlie Drew bled to death in an Atlanta, Georgia hospital waiting room after an automobile accident because they didn't accept niggas? You want to tell us education's our problem? The man that had the educational knowledge, the genius, and the wisdom to give blood plasma to the world. died from the lack of his own invention because his face was black and education didn't have a damn thing to do with it. So we say we're tired of all these things and all we do is react. Oh, there's a lot of white folks in America that believe a nigger is the stinkiest, smelliest thing walking the face of this earth. That's your hang up. I'm not here tonight to convince you niggers don't stink. I say do your own research. Yeah, check the records at the cosmetics industry and see how many multi-billions of dollars a year you white folks in America spend on deodorant. Check them deodorant commercials on television and see if you ever see a black armpit. And then figure it out for yourself. If niggas is doing all the stinking and white folks is buying all the deodorant, who really stinks? So we say we're tired of these insults. There's a whole lot of white folks that believe because I was born black, I'm inferior to a white man because he was born white. Theory, but keep it in your head. You know, the interesting thing about the same white man that believe I'm inferior to him because I'm black, he would be the first one to tell you tonight that if I went to bed with a Japanese woman and gave her a baby, the baby gonna be coming. If I went to bed with a Jewish woman, an Irish woman, I can go to bed with any woman on the face of this earth and give her a baby, and he'll tell you the baby gonna be me. My sister can go to bed with any man on the face of this earth and get a baby, and the baby will be her. Is that inferior stock to you? We're tired of all these insults. And all we're doing is reacting to it. Now white folks tell us, why don't y'all quit all that demonstrating and go down the ghetto and pull your brother up by his bootstraps? Why don't you give him some boots with some zippers on? We admit down in the ghetto in America, black women in America have 20% illegitimate babies. We ain't gonna deny that. We had fun in the ghetto. White women in America have 2% illegit. We're tired of those insults. We'd really like to set the record straight. We'd like for you white folks, just because your white sister got 2% illegitimate babies and my black sister got 20% illegitimate babies, you wants to run around believing morally you're a better man than I am because your sister got 2% illegit and my sister got 20%. And let's set the record straight. If we ever get our hands on you white folks' abortion credit cards, we will show you how to knock them over. Because all these white folks running around talking about, how come y'all have all them babies down the ghetto? You can't take care of them. They're going to end up on relief. We know it. The only thing we see wrong with your relief is just ain't enough of it. I never met a white man that didn't have some free money. You tell when y'all took that stock market and didn't have any money. Words like relief, welfare, and ABC, those kind of words don't set you change. It's called a foreign aid. We know that money you get in white Europeans don't upset you too much. As far as all them babies we have down there in the black ghetto that we can't take care of, we make a deal with you. The day this white system learn how to hire black boys and give us good jobs like it gives you white boys so we can afford all them whores and prostitutes like you, we quit having all them babies down there. You see, we don't have to ask you about that whore because he is my sister, remember, and she do talk to us when she comes home. So we do know what you mean. So we say we're tired of this. When I stop, I can't have a journal and kill my dad during World War II. And a German killed my dad in 1942. In 1942, I was 10 years old. I'm 37 years old now. That means I would have gone 27 years without a daddy. Now, that's no insult. Because when daddies go to war, they go to kill or be killed. The insult is the same German that could have killed my daddy during World War II in 1942 and made me go 27 years without a daddy, that same German tonight can come to my daddy's country and live in a neighborhood my daddy's boy can't live in. You really understand what we're talking about? We
stand before we ever sit by and let you treat your enemies better than you treat your citizens. We are burning this damn country down. We learned that from you. We watched you burn Vietnam down to the ground. We were born and we know that you can free your country. When y'all make it. I got 7 little black kids at home, and every time my old lady get pregnant, I realize how much progress we've made. My last baby daughter that was born 6 months ago, we know how the system hates to call black folks Mr. and Mrs., so we named her M-I-S-S. That's her first name, Miss, last name Greg. Nobody ain't gonna talk to us like they call her Miss Greg. Every time I look at my old lady's black belly get big, I realize how much progress we've made. Well, every time she get pregnant, I remember that just a little bit over 100 years ago, back down in the slave tent, when my black slave sister rushed up to her black slave man and said, "Honey, I think I'm pregnant." And them two black slaves fell down on their knees and prayed to their almighty God that the unborn baby would be born deformed. You think about that prayer one day. God, we dealing with such a racist, inhumane beast that if you could give us this baby, Lord, born with a limb missing, or God, if you could give him to us with his body twisted and put a hump in his back, God, if you really wanted to be good to us, God, give us this baby born maladjusted, because God, if you give us a baby like that, the white folks will never be able to sell it. Lord, we get to keep that baby all our life. You think about that prayer. And one day, my black slave sister rushed up to her black slave man crying tears of joy. "Honey, the Lord's answered our prayers. His head looks funny. I think he's going to be maladjusted." And them two black slaves fell back down on their knees, praying tears of joy, thanking their God for a maladjusted baby. A baby that can never be sold. A baby that they'll get to keep for the rest of their life. Progress. Me and my old lady got 70 more black babies at home, and we ain't never had to pray for nothing less long than a maladjusted baby. That's all the progress we went through this system. And so as I leave you tonight, I say, we tired of these white insults, and all we're doing is reacting to them. No more civil rights legislation. We want our rights under that same piece of paper we pay our income tax by. We want our rights under the same piece of paper you get yours under, the United States Constitution. No, wait a minute. We'd like for you to play one more game with us before you quit. We'd like for you to give us one more of them old trick laws called the Honest White Folks Bill. Now, don't none of you get uptight, because it ain't got nothing to do with white folks. Matter of fact, we'll give it a real good name. We'll name it the Concerned Honky Law. I bet that'll go over big in the ghetto. It'd be a simple law to just read all five-year-old black male baby boys. See, they ain't got nothing to do with white folks. It don't even cover my black sister. All five-year-old black male baby boys will have to go to a government camp for 1 year from the age of 5 to 6. And on this camp, we'll stipulate in the bill that these little black boys will be able to sleep for 8 hours a day. And for the other 16 hours a day, the government will teach them, and that's where the honest white folks will come in. 16 hours a day, the government will teach them little black boys, "Nigga, when you grow up, don't never date a white woman, don't never make love to a white woman, don't never marry." Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something before we leave here. We can't believe that nothing upsets you no more than to see a nigga with a white woman and you ain't got guts enough to talk about your number one hang-up. Who in the hell do you think you are? And one day, if you ever get enough manhood to talk about your number one hang-up, you might find out one day it's something you doing to make me want that broad. And if you quit doing her, you find out don't nobody want her but you.
Every time the new cars come out, you can't advertise a new car without putting that white woman in it. Buy Ford. So I feel I got to get that white broad to make my gears shift right. I'd be sitting on the plane, minding my own business, reading the magazine, and turn to a page, and there white broad with a big old bottle of Pepsi Cola in her fist, talking about, have a Pepsi, honey. Thirsty? Yeah, I'll have a Pepsi and you too, you old white broad. I go to my black ghetto, go into my black house, get in my black living room with my black wife and my black kids, turn on my black television, and there your white sister running halfway across, half naked, talking about, buy a Playtex living bra. Yes, I'll buy a Playtex living bra for my old lady, and I'll buy you for me. Do you think niggas was born wanting a white lady? One day, if you ever get up enough sense to stop programming me, you find out you don't have no trouble with me. I went to see my first movie. I was 4 years old. Didn't know nothing about no white lady. My mind was pure, honest. Had never seen nobody make love in my life till I go to the movie. And who making love? Ava Gardner and Humphrey Bogart. I couldn't even go downtown to the white movie. I had to go to the black movie. You brought that white lady out there. I was 4 years old. I didn't know what Ava Gardner and Humphrey Bogart was doing, but I had enough sense to know that one day I was going to grow up and do it. And I went to the movie every day for 4 years. See, in my hometown, you didn't have to pay to get into the movie till you was 12 years old. So every night I went to the movie. I never will forget, I was 8 years old, had been going to the movie every night for 4 years, looking at that white lady make love. And 8 years old, I'm sitting in the movie, and Ava Gardner and Alan Ladd was doing that thing. I nudged my friend, I said, man, I'm sure gonna get me one of them when I grow up. He said, which one, him or her? I said, I don't know, I think I'll try them both. Well, I got news for you tonight, I'm grown. And I'm going to get me a white woman, and the madder it makes you, the more them white broads I'm going to get me, and I hope it makes you so damn mad that you'll quit programming my little black kids and show them some black ladies in their movies making love. Show them some black ladies advertising in televisions. Show them some black ladies holding that Pepsi Cola bottle in their hand. If you ever get enough sense to do that, you'll find out you won't have no trouble with your lady. But the mistake you made with me, the only black woman you ever showed me in the movies was Bueller. And you was programming this young, fresh mind, the only black woman you ever let me see advertise something for you was Angel Mammy. I just thought you had enough sense to know that I didn't ever, never, ever want to make love to Bueller. So as we leave you tonight, we say to you that you got a big job to do. You youngsters can solve the problems confronting America today. We as black folks ain't asking you to do us no favors. Do America some favors. Read, ask a lot of questions, and most important, think. I read the Kerner Report on civil disorders in America. And as beautiful as the Kerner Report is, you still got to watch it. Because the Kerner Report says to solve the problems in the black community, it's going to cost America $80 billion. I hope you got more sense than to bring $80 billion down in my ghetto. You bring $80 billion down my ghetto, all you're going to do is get the damnedest four-day crap game you ever seen in your life. You want to solve the problems in the black ghettos? Don't bring no money down there. You're going to have to do something first that won't cost you one nickel as far as black folks are concerned. And that is, for the first time in the history of America, you're going to have to create an atmosphere where black folks will trust white folks. And the way you're going to do that, not with $80 billion, you're going to get up on that Indian reservation and cut my red brother loose. You're gonna give my Puerto Rican brother his constitutional rights. You're gonna free my Mexican brother. And last but not least, because my Jewish brother plays a lot of games with himself, but you should paint your face as black as mine and see what that Gentile say to us about you every day, and you realize you're in the same stinking bag with the rest of us. So what we say in short, simple, and sweet, when you free my Jewish brother, my Indian brother, my Mexican brother, my Puerto Rican brother, then at that point we'll say, my white brother, I trust you. Come into my ghetto and together we will solve my problems. But if you think you're going to solve my problems and keep all them other minority groups hung up, we say to you today, you better take that $80 billion and buy yourself some of the biggest guns money can buy, because you damn sure going to need them. And so as we say goodnight to you this evening, I say to those of you that worked on my presidential campaign, thanks. Those of you that voted for me, thanks. I sit up late on election night waiting on Long Island to come in and put me over, you know. But y'all goofed. Yeah, it was a thrill for me to run for the presidency of the United States because I was the only candidate running for the presidency. The rest of them fools was running for sheriff. And we just left Washington, D.C., and we had our inauguration. Good affair, wasn't it? We declared ourselves the independent write-in president of the United States in exile, and we went to Washington March the 4th and had our inauguration, and we're going to open up a black house. And for the next 4 years, we're going to see if we can wipe out the problems of hunger confronting Americans today. And I say to you, young white kids, tonight, you kids that's dedicated for human rights, you kids that want to help the Indians and help the Puerto Ricans and help the Mexicans, one mistake I hope you will not make. There's a poor, hungry, hillbilly white boy in this country that nobody gives a damn about. I hope you will make him your concern, too. They're busy passing out food stamps in South Carolina to black folks. There's some white folks in Appalachia that need some food stamps, too. I hope you get concerned about all people. And I hope you'll be as interested in going into that white ghetto tutoring that little hillbilly's kid, too, because he got a right to get some help. I hope you will see to it that the colleges and universities in America will open up their doors and take in some of them hillbilly's kids, too. I hope you don't start helping everybody and pass your poor white brother by and make him pay the cost for this vicious, insane society. And so you youngsters have a big job. I know many of you have to go to work. Some of you got babysitters to relieve. So right now, we're going to turn you loose, those of you that have to go. I say to you, thank you so much for showing up tonight. May nature have fun with you, and may God bless you. Thank you.
Everything's simple. Ha! It's bound to catch on quick. And if you hang around, you know you can't resist. I'm a simple man.